بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، قال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إن الأصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. فأما بعد فثم أما بعد. My dear brothers and elders and sisters, we continue with our series of lectures and khutab on why Islam. Why Islam? Because Islam works. The most powerful means of da'wah is by practice, not by talking, not by publishing books, not by videos, but by actual practice of the goodness of Islam, where people who come into contact with us can feel it, can taste it, can experience it. It was this that Imam al-Zuhri, rahmatullahi alayhi, the great tabi'i scholar, the great muhaddith, the teacher of Imam Malik bin Anas, rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam al-Zuhri said that Islam spread the fastest after Fatah Makkah, because for the first time the non-Muslim was able to see the life of an ordinary Muslim up close. He did not say that for the first time the non-Muslim was seeing the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up close, or the life of any of the akabirin or the sahaba, or any great shuyukh and mashayikh. No. He said they were able to see the life of ordinary Muslims up close. Now, there was something that was so beautiful about the way that the ordinary Muslim, meaning people like us, behaved and dealt with each other and dealt with them, and the kind of society they created. It was so beautiful that people were attracted to Islam. Today, we live in the midst of communities of non-Muslims, where we Muslims are a minority. So there is ample opportunity. Most of us tend to see this as a problem, that we are a minority. Now, I submit to you that this is not a problem, this is a strength. This is a wonderful thing. If you are selling something, what is the first thing you would want? You want a market, right? If you're selling something, what do you want? You need a market. You can't sell something in the middle of nowhere. You've got a ready-made market. You've got a ready-made market. On an average, going by the so-called global demographic population data that we see bandied about, there is roughly, there are five non-Muslims or four non-Muslims for every Muslim. Because if the Muslim population of the world is, say, 20%, which is what they say it is, it means for every Muslim, every one of us, there are four non-Muslims. It's a fantastic, brilliant. What more can you want? So to put it very simplistically, and feel free to laugh if you want, all you need to do is to influence four people in your life, four non-Muslims in your life, to believe that you are the best thing that happened to them. That's it. We got the world covered. If every Muslim can cover four non-Muslims, if every Muslim can convince four non-Muslims that he or she is the best thing that happened to them, you've got the world covered. I'm not saying they will all accept Islam, but definitely it's going to make a dent, if not a significant impact, on the image that Islam and Muslims have in the world today, which is what we are suffering. We got a major image problem. We do not have, alhamdulillah, we do not have a real problem. We do not have a structural problem. We have an image problem. And that is why I started this series of lectures on things which are Islamic practices, but which are practices which anybody can practice, Muslim or not, any situation, and they will deliver results. And today I'm going to talk about the discussion on consultative decision making, which is Shura. Last week I talked about the importance of that, and today I will describe for you the actual method of how it is to be done. This is a practice that is ordered and advocated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu himself, and it was practiced by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout his blessed life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered Shura to be so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Quran about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Which means, Allah said in Surah Ash-Shura, and those who answer the call of their Rabb, which means those who accept Islam and establish a salah and conduct their affairs by mutual consultation by shura, shura bainahum, and who spend from what we have bestowed on them. I always marvel at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions elements of conduct along with ibadah, along with salah and zakat. And this happens in many places in the Quran. This shows us that Islam is not merely a set of prayer rituals, but is a complete way of life in which everything we say or do has the potential to benefit us in this life and earn rewards for us in the akhirah, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah actually defined us, He defined the Muslims by how we conduct our affairs. He listed the characteristics of the believers. How do you recognize believers? And He said they are those who answer His call, meaning who accept Islam. The proof of acceptance of Islam is the establishment of salah. If you are not praying, there is no evidence that you are Muslim. Maybe you are, maybe you are not. So number two is establishment of salah. Number three, conducting their affairs through mutual consultation, shura bainahum. And number four, spending from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed on us in His path. And the spending does not refer only to money, spending in every form. This shows us how important and how blessed shura is, because it is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered and called it a characteristic of the Muslim. So let's see how it is to be done. Before we go there, let me say to you that shura, the purpose of shura is twofold. One is to take the best possible decision, leveraging the diversity of experience and competence and knowledge that is there in the group which is making the decision. And number two, perhaps even more important, is to keep the hearts of people together, especially when the decision might be contentious in nature. The whole purpose of Shura is to ensure that at the end of the process, everyone feels included and respected and acknowledged. So here is how it goes. First and foremost, the question of who should be a member of the Shura. The Shura is not just a gathering of nice people, or people who get along with each other, or people who are popular. And that's why the very fundamental question, who should be there? Just getting a bunch of people together and calling them the Majlis of Shura is ridiculous. The Shura must have people with the skills and experience necessary to deliberate on the matter at hand and come to a particular conclusion. Enthusiasm is not a substitute for competence. People get appointed usually based on rank and age and gender or willingness, all of which are unsuitable criteria for appointment to a shura. Competence and experience are the only two criteria that you should consider. Incompetent people will ensure that the shura fails, and with that will fail your trust in the entire process. One of the biggest victims of this are NGOs, organizations of, and most of the Muslim organizations are NGOs, which are shuras which fail because the management bodies are elected because of popularity. How do you get onto the board of anything? By being popular, not necessarily competent or knowledgeable or anything else. Wise leaders co-opt people with skills and experience into the shura to take good decisions. So get experts and listen to them, don't argue with them. Number two is selecting the leader. The shura must have a leader. If there is no leader, then shaitan is the leader. This can be the formal head of the team or the family organization, president of the board, whatever. Or it can be somebody selected to lead that particular shura meeting. Now this may happen in a case where the selected person is the one who is most concerned with the outcome, as in the case of, say for example, helping somebody to choose a career or choose a spouse, or in the case of a decision related to a specific subdivision of an organization or a specific matter where the decision needs to be implemented. In our Islamic system, the shura, the leader is usually called the Amir or the Faisal, but this is not critical. Call him Mickey Mouse. Have him as a, have a leader. That's important. Second thing is leader's attitude. Be open to suggestions and ideas, especially those that may be different from your own. As a leader, never enter a shura with your mind already made up. People make out that your mind is made up, and then that is suicide because it will destroy the trust that others have in you. And people will not give you suggestions because they realize that you are not really open. You're just pretending. Number three, what actions should the leader take? First and foremost, state the goal. What is the shura about? State the goal clearly, and I have a rule and I say state the goal in not more than 4 or 5 words. If you cannot state it in 4 or 5 words, it means that you have not put enough mindshare behind it. You have not reflected on it enough. So do that first. If you have to make a speech about the goal, something is wrong. No speech. 4 or 5 words max. This is why we are here. This is the goal to achieve this. And therefore, spend the time to ensure that you have clarity. Because if you as a leader don't have clarity, then nobody else can have clarity. Then, next step, describe the situation. Strengths, weaknesses, constraints, resources. Clearly and in as much detail as you like. Now, be open and frank. If you are secretive, and if you do not share all the information you have, you cannot get good suggestions. And when people discover later that you had not shared your knowledge frankly, it will again destroy their trust in you as a leader and in the whole process. And it will also potentially damage your authority and relationship with the people. Remember the GIGO principle, garbage in, garbage out. And then what does the leader do? Having stated the goal and having stated the situation, the circumstances as he or she understands them, the leader then seeks suggestions. Ask people for suggestions. It's a good idea usually to ask everyone, but that depends on how many people there are and so on. So choose who you want to ask. Usually when I am leading such things, I do not ask those who I trust the most and with whom I have the closest relationship. I do not ask them because I know I have that level of comfort with them that they will not feel offended and they will not, you know, take it otherwise. So therefore, in a shura meeting, if you are not asked, don't immediately think that, oh, I am being ignored. No, more than likely you are the person they trust you the most. So they're not going to ask you because they know. Be sure to ask two kinds of people. One, those who you think have critical information. And two, those who have nuisance value. Because there are always people who, if you don't ask them, then they outside the meeting, they will create a lot of noise in the system which disrupts the whole process. So acknowledge their nuisance value ask them. And then, the leader then, having asked, having taken notes, must then come to a conclusion. And before you come to the conclusion, take the stuff, pray istikhara, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, and then decide what you have to do going forward. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فقال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. We spoke about what the shura is, what constitutes it, who should be the member of the shura, how to select a leader, and what the leader should do. Now let's see, as members of the shura, as followers, what is it that you and I should do? The seven important things. Number one, if your opinion is sought, give it. A lot of people go through this whole sham of, no, but you know, please, whatever you see, whatever you like. No, please. If you are asked, give your opinion. If you don't have an opinion, then say, I'm sorry, I don't have the opinion, I have nothing to say. But don't play games. Number two, say what you know to be in the best interest of the group and best for the achievement of the goal, even if it is something which is inconvenient for you. Don't say something that you like or you find convenient. Think always about the group and think always about the goal, not about yourself. Number three, when you finish speaking, make istighfar. Seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save you from the possible evil of whatever you suggested, because Allah knows and you do not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very clearly, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَسَى وَأَسَى أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَأَسَى أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا فَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is possible that you dislike something, but there is good in it for you. And it is possible that you like something and there is evil in it for you, and Allah knows and you do not know. So having given the suggestion, don't sit there and say, wow, fantastic, great, wise thing I said. No. Make istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Allah, I did my best, I said whatever I had to say, but I do not know whether I said what I said, is it good or is it bad, I have no idea. Please forgive me and save everyone from the potential evil of what I have said. This is very important, because this saves us from pride and arrogance, and in case our opinion is not taken, it saves us from feeling disappointed and resentful, because that's a big problem. I give an opinion and it is not taken, then I sit around feeling bad about it and say, why did you ask me if you didn't want to accept it? The person asked for an opinion. They didn't tell you, tell me something and I will accept it. So it saves us from all of this. Number four, if your opinion is not sought, if the leader did not ask for your opinion, what must you do? Say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for saving you from potentially having said something which could have been harmful or which could have been not beneficial. Number five, do not insist on speaking. Make dua and say, even if you wanted to say something and the leader didn't ask you, don't insist on speaking. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And say, Ya Allah, if what I want to say, Ya Allah, you know what I want to say. If there is benefit in this, put it in the heart of the leader to ask me so I can speak. Right? This connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we seem to have lost. Right? We need to do that. You are connected. Allah is listening to you. Yes or no?
Wahuwa Samiul Basir, he is hearing, he is seeing. So talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Allah, you know what's in my heart. This is what I want to say to these people, but they are not giving me a chance. The leader is not asking me. So if you think it is beneficial, put it in the heart of the leader. Let him ask me, I will see. If it comes, alhamdulillah, your dua got accepted straight away. Right? If it didn't happen, alhamdulillah. The only exception, and listen carefully, only exception to this is if you have critical information, critical data. I'm not talking about opinions. Actual critical data. If you have critical data relating to the matter being discussed, then raise up your hand, ask to be, seek to be recognized, and give that data, share that information. Don't sit with critical data and say, well, you know, what can I do? Nobody asked me. Because if there is a bad decision, believe me, if the whole team goes down the drain, you are also going down the drain with the team. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to others. The leader is not a mind reader. He does not know what's in your mind. So do not sit silently. If you have critical data, seek to be recognized and share the data. Collective responsibility means owning your own accountability. And that is the 7 things that we need to do. And don't worry, you don't have to remember all this. All this will come to you in the text that is shared with the audio of the khutbah. Back to the leader. Consider all suggestions and information and then decide. Then make istighfar once again. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help. Pray istighara for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have tawakkul on Allah. Do not change a decision unless some critical information comes up that you did not have at the time of making the shura. Don't change the decision because you suddenly got butterflies in the stomach or something. No. Decisiveness is a leadership quality and a hallmark of a good leader. Not dilly-dallying between this and that. You take a decision, stay with that, unless critical information comes which tells you that this decision is wrong and you need to change that. At that time, if you are rigid, then you are harming yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advised Rasulullah s.a.w. about the key qualities of the Amir. And they are a beautiful combination. A combination of softness, forbearance, patience, and strong decisiveness. This shows that kindness and forgiveness are not signs of weakness, but strength and emotional maturity, which are very critical for strong leadership. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Allah said in Surah Al-Imran, and by the mercy of Allah, you dealt with them gently. And had you been severe and harsh-hearted, they would have broken away from you and left you. So pass over, ignore their faults, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for them and consult them in the affairs. Then, when you have taken a decision, put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala certainly loves those who put their trust in Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the kindness of Rasulullah as a blessing from Himself for His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and emphasized that as the critical ingredient for building powerful and effective teams. He advised Rasulullah ﷺ to be patient, especially with those who may exceed the boundaries of propriety, to forgive them and seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for them, and to consult his companions while taking decisions. Shawir hum fil amr. Having done that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Rasulullah ﷺ to decide and stay firm on the decision, placing his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. This is such a beautiful and concise description of shura and the role of the Amir that I want to emphasize it for all of us and remind us to remember this ayah when we are conducting our own affairs. Finally, and most importantly, whatever be the decision, this is very, very critical. Whatever be the decision, the entire shura must support the Amir's decision, irrespective of whether their own opinion had been sought or accepted or not. Now, this is the key and this is a make or break point for all decisions. Any decision is only as good as its implementation, and that will not happen without the wholehearted support of all concerned. The worst thing is for people to participate in Ashura and then out of the room speak against the decision of the Amir and then say that, you know, I was not asked and I said, but he didn't listen, and so on and so on. A lot of conversation in the corridors. This is absolutely disgusting, and it's like a cancer. It will destroy that whole meeting. So make absolutely sure that you support the decision. Trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His guidance for the Amir in the decision making, which happens when decisions are taken using the method that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to use, which is Shura. And this is the Islamic way of consultative decision making. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما عطيت وقنا واصرفنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك فإنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تبارك ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك آمين يا رب العالمين. يا عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم، عدوا يستجيب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيموا الصلاة.